welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of April 21st. I am your co-host, Michael Steele, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and springy Melissa Hansen.
I am. We're getting, it's spring here in Texas. The thunderstorms.
Oh.
Yeah. Spring in Texas, that's what it means.
Man, we're finally.
But we've lucked out. It hasn't been bad. Denton's had a couple really bad ones so far this spring. Mm. We've lucked out. The worst has missed us, but okay. I'm sure we'll get it sooner or later.
I think that's where Daryl's from, that area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's not lucked out. And he's had already. Hail and the whole shebang up there.
Well, it was freaky because it was like last 2 weeks ago we had 80 degrees, and then a couple days later we had an inch of snow and ice, and it was just what the hell is this?
Yeah, we've had, I mean, obviously not to that extreme here, but hot and then fairly cold. And,
We're settling into the 60s, so.
That's nice.
There's your New England and Texas weather report for the week. How was your week in entertainment?
Actually, last week, it's not that exciting because it's already aired, but I got to see a preview of Salem.
Oh, yeah, that's the WGN.
Yeah, new show. I saw it like movie theater. It actually wasn't through Verdict. It was just one of those they were doing around the country, previews, free previews.
Okay.
I got a free pack of licorice, so it's all good. So Red Vine, it's sponsored by it. Afterwards, we all got a pack of Red Vines.
So was it worth it?
No. Oh. It's not a bad show.
Yeah.
It's not my kind of show.
Okay.
It's set, Salem, Massachusetts, witch trial kind of time period.
1600s or whatever.
Yeah. And it's, as we all know, in real history, I mean, it was, coined the term witch hunt kind of thing. These women weren't witches. They were either, weird, misunderstood, or whatever. Somebody hated them and,
he's a witch. He's
got it. Anyhow. Well, in this show, they are really witches.
Okay.
And warlocks. It actually stars Shane West from Once and Again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's all grown up now.
Huh.
He plays like kind of a leader, like his father was a big leader in the town, and then he goes off to the war and then comes back a few years later.
Yeah.
With gray in his beard, so it's a few years. And like the woman that he's in love with is married to the icky old guy in town, the rich guy, and now there's big witch hunts going on. And he's like, and he even says the line, "I call bullshit."
Oh, jeez.
But then he sees they really are witches, and I don't know. It's kind of like a younger person, Sleepy Hollow. It reminded me a lot of Sleepy Hollow. I think that's what this is. This is kind of, riding in the coattails of that. It doesn't have any modern day like that. But, the witches and the history and the whole, and a little bit of smart-ass humor in it. To me, it was kind of ridiculous, though, at times. It was actually, like, graphically sexual.
Oh, wow.
I was surprised. Now, no actual naughty body parts are shown.
Yeah.
There's amazing blocking and some really nice hair extensions down over the boobs. But, like, full-out sex scene, but, like, you actually don't see anything. But it was very kind of graphic. I was a little taken aback. But then to me, there were moments that I was like rolling my eyes big time.
All right.
I'm not buying into this. Again, it's not a bad show. I don't know. Maybe it is. It depends on your definition. I mean, I would not fault anyone for liking it and watching it. I'm just not going to.
So they're trying to compete with the CW. And Fox. I mean, WGN has been known for just running reruns all the time, and that's been their thing. But now everybody's getting into scripted series.
Right. And so this is theirs, and it's not bad. It shoots down in Shreveport.
Oh.
A couple hours from here. And actually, the casting agency I work with is the one doing the background on it.
All right.
The production seems pretty decent, and the acting's decent. It's just, like I said, it's just, to me, it's a little... It veers off into the kind of ridiculous, but it's kind of scary. So I say it's younger, but it's not for kids, like sexual, but it's also, there's some scary images and stuff. It's not a funny witches. It's icky.
All right.
Icky witches.
Well, everybody's got to start somewhere. So
yeah.
We'll see how it plays out. I had one day one half of a day off last week, and I'm like, screw this, I am going to see Captain America Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, and I grabbed the first matinee, and I'm so glad I did, because this has to be Marvel's finest movie to date. And that's saying a lot, given the way that the progression of these films has been going. It's so well thought out. The Russo brothers directed this one. Joe Johnson did such a great job with the 1940s period version for the first film. This is all grounded in modern day. It's very, it was kind of billed as a 70s, because Robert Redford was in it, it was kind of billed as a throwback to the 70s, you know, political crime dramas.
Okay.
And there is very much of that type of feel, but it is so modernly relentless in terms of action and adventure in this. You are literally, and I'm not kidding about being on the edge of your seat. Your body is so tense by the time this is over from everything that's going on. You're like, oh my God, I need a chiropractor.
Wow.
Yeah. Sam Jackson, Scarlett Johansson, the same guy who played Bucky in the first film is back for the second film to play the Winter Soldier. And he does, I don't know him from anything else, but he does a really fine job with this. And they set up, again, they set up so many pieces of the puzzle to go into these other films, and it's just so seamlessly well done. And then they throw out little Easter eggs, like we find out that Tony Stark's father was assassinated, and we find out that Stephen Strange is on the hit list for, and I don't want to spoil anything, but Stephen Strange is Doctor Strange, which they've been trying to, they've been setting up that they're developing a movie for Doctor Strange, who is one of my favorite Marvel characters. He's the kind of the Sorcerer Supreme of the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
And I'm so looking forward to what they're going to do with that. I just hope they don't cast Johnny Depp, because as we will talk about in the box office this week, his drawing power has completely bottomed out.
Yeah. Yes. Just a side note, you're saying Sebastian Stan, who plays Winter Soldier, people will recognize from Once Upon a Time, he plays the Mad Hatter.
Okay.
On that, and I guess he was also on Gossip Girl.
All right. Yes. Those are two shows I don't watch.
So. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, he's the Mad Hatter, which I don't watch that anymore, but I liked him.
Yeah, so. But I so much loved Iron Man 3 and what they did with this.
Yeah.
This takes the Marvel films, even it notches it up even more.
Wow. Okay.
So, I hope, I mean, credit Kevin Feige and his creative team, because these guys have done their homework. Like I said, they've mapped out this Marvel Cinematic Universe until 2028 so far. So this isn't a half-assed Damon Lindelof lost, you know, plotting scheme. These guys know exactly where they want to take
polar bears, seriously. Tell us more about polar bears.
What happened to Walt? Come on.
Come on. You still owe me. You still owe me on that
donuts,
bet.
Donuts, I know. I thought they would resolve it, and they never did.
Nope. Okay, anyhow.
So anyways, definitely go see it on the big screen. It will lose a little something when it comes to DVD, unless you have a massive home theater system, but... and I actually paid to see it in 3D, so it's got the additional depth, but you don't need to see it in 3D to enjoy it.
Okay.
Box office this week, there's a reason why Captain America is still on top.
And yeah.
It's because it's a damn good movie.
Yeah, but only $27 million.
Yeah, well, I mean, this has got to be like its fourth week, I think.
So, so $27 million, but the number one movie is only $27 million. It's spread out a bit this week. Usually we have that big drop.
Yes.
After like the second, not so much. Rio 2 is hanging in there, second place with $22 million.
Yep.
And then Heaven is for Real.
Another Christian movie, this one with Greg Kinnear.
Right there with it with $22 million also.
Christian films are now box office gold.
It is. My bet is this will drop off after, you know, because it's not Easter weekend.
Right.
Next weekend. But yeah, this is the supposed true story of a 4-year-old who like saw heaven while he was like having surgery and then wrote a book about it. And for Transcendence with Johnny Depp only made $11 million.
So this is Wally Pfister, who is Christopher Nolan's cinematographer, and it's his first directorial, it's his directorial debut. And there was a lot of promise that this was going to be a massive hit. And obviously that didn't turn out to be the case.
Yeah. That's $11 million for that. Okay.
I don't think it got reviewed very well either.
Yeah. I'm rounding out the top five, A Haunted House 2 with $9 million.
Keep funding the Wayans brothers, baby.
Yeah.
Next week, nobody wants to... Everyone's scared of Spider-Man 2. So nobody is putting out anything. You've got The Other Woman, which is the romantic comedy revenge of the women scorned. Cameron Diaz fronts that one. Brick Mansion, which is another one of Paul Walker's final films.
Oh, yeah.
This one's a crime drama from Luc Besson, who's producing and writing, but not directing.
Okay.
The Quiet Ones, which is a horror movie. Again, another low-budget, counter-programming horror movie. And then the Tom Hardy thriller called Lock is also coming out next week.
Okay.
Coming to DVD and Blu-ray this week. Again, not much. We are moving into the summer movie season, and when that is the case, the studios pull back on their DVD, on their physical media releases.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Billy Friedkin's Sorcerer, which I've never seen. It's a Roy Scheider film from the 70s.
Ooh.
Political, socioeconomic type thriller. And Friedkin's always great. I mean, The Exorcist and Cruisin' and all these other great films he did. Doctor Who, The Web of Fear, which was long thought lost 45 years ago when it first aired, but they found the missing episodes, at least four of the five missing episodes, were found in a TV station in Nigeria and brought back to the BBC, reconditioned.
This is like the only one that this has happened.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's so weird.
Yeah, they're still missing episode three. But what they have the audio from it, so they take still pictures, and it's these were 22-minute episodes back then, as opposed to the hour-longs they are now. So the third chapter just has stills, but the audio is still all present there.
Okay.
I started watching it last night, and it's all about Yeti. The Yeti invade the underground, the London Underground.
Nice.
Newhart, Season 3. Get Carter, which is an old Michael Caine film, comes to Blu-ray, and then Conspiracy Theory, which is Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts, which I actually enjoyed that film. Patrick Stewart plays the bad guy. It's cheesy, over-the-top fun.
I forgot it was him.
Yeah. But Mel Gibson is one of those guys who thinks everybody's out to get him, that there's a conspiracy everywhere.
Just maybe right.
But that's coming to Blu-ray for the first time this week. Over at Redbox, we've got Grudge Match with De Niro and Stallone. We've got Philomena with Judi Dench. Saving Mr. Banks with Tom Hanks and Emma. Oh, my God. I almost said...
Thompson?
Thank you. I almost said Emma Watson. I'm like, no. No,
nope, wrong one.
And then the remake of Flowers in the Attic.
Oh, gosh.
I know. But it's Ellen Burstyn, right? So it's
yeah, and Heather Graham and Sally Draper from Mad Men.
Oh, okay.
As playing Sally Draper must not have the actress screwed up enough. She's like the next Chloe Grace Moretz. I hope her parents are putting away for therapy.
Oh, boy.
But anyhow, but that did so freaking well, they're going to, like, make sequels to it.
I know it. And the first one was kind of a cult anyways. Cult
classic. Oh, every other woman my age is freaking out over this thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
They all read it, like, junior high or whatever, and it was all naughty and... Yeah. Okay.
At Netflix this week, G.I. Joe Retaliation, which again was a surprisingly enjoyable film. Bruce Willis, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Channing Tatum is in it for a hot second and then disappears.
Hot. It's Channing Tatum. In it. It's hot.
We've got The Bible, which is Mark Burnett and Roman Downey Jr.'s epic miniseries is available on Netflix this week. A little post-Easter, but still feeds whatever, you know, History Channel stuff you're trying to fill. Insidious Chapter 2, The Dirties, which is a teen school revenge drama.
Okay.
Kind of like a Columbine type thing.
Oh.
So you're watching these kids kind of, you know, plot out a school attack.
Oh, nice.
And then Milius, which is a documentary on exiled 70s filmmaker John Milius and what happened to him and how he fell out of favor with Hollywood after working on such amazing pictures, you know, Star Wars and Close Encounters and all this kind of stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. Apocalypse Now he was part of. Hulu at this week. Hulu, it's either hit or miss with Hulu. There's either a lot of interesting stuff or there's nothing you ever want to watch. Obscure nature travel documentaries, a made-for-TV movie called The Great Mom Swap with Valerie Harper, and then American Kickboxer 2.
Nice. But also, hit or miss, talking about hitting, United States of Terror is on Hulu now.
All right.
Yeah.
And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is how, that's how I watch it, is on Hulu. And there's only three episodes left.
Yeah, but they only show like the last four episodes. It's not the whole season.
Yeah, but I've been keeping up, so I'm not missing
it. Yeah, I know. Well, those of us who kind of tuned out after the first couple, but now we're hearing it's better, screwed.
Yeah, we'll get you the DVD when it comes.
All right.
That's all I've got for physical and streaming media this week.
Okay. TV this week, Archer finale on FX on Monday night. Mm. Tuesday, Deadliest Catch is back on Discovery. And another new reality show on Lifetime, True Tory, which is Tori Spelling.
Oh, no.
And Dean McDermott. But this one is all about, like, him cheating and are they going to break up or not. It's like their couples therapy.
Okay.
Whatever. So I actually have enjoyed watching them. Like, I thought episodes of their old shows. They've had like six different titles, I think, you know, but it's still just them and their family. And I like them as people. I mean, from what I can tell, this, you know, half hour reality, but this is going to not be, oh boy, the fun, sweet stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Wednesday, it's a very special Modern Family.
Oh boy.
Actually, it's, They do like a trip every season, and this year they're going to Australia.
Ooh.
So anyhow, Thursday there's a new show on ABC called Black Box.
Uh oh.
And I tried to figure out what this is, and I'm still not sure.
Oh no.
It's like, what is she, like a neuro something scientist, but she has mental illness, and she's trying to treat people and do research, and I don't even know. But Vanessa Redgrave plays like her psychiatrist.
Shut up.
It's like, what? Anyhow, another new show Thursday night, Bad Teacher.
Yeah.
Based on the, without Cameron Diaz, but based on that movie, is on CBS. Hmm. Thursday night, NBC, it's the Parks and Rec finale.
Okay.
And then there's an SNL digital shorts special. Digital shorts are the best part of SNL now. Come on. So you don't have to stay up late Saturday to watch them. You can just tune in Thursday evening. Friday, ABC brings us the finale of Last Man Standing.
Yeah.
Saturday, Gather the Kitties. ABC is showing the movie Despicable Me.
Oh, fun.
And then Sunday night, HBO. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Oh.
It's all the stuff he did last summer on The Daily Show, but it's going to be once a week.
Oh, boy.
Instead of nightly.
He's a funny guy.
Yeah, now that Community's done for the season, he can concentrate on
this.
All right, music this week. Blues Americana, it's all one word if you're looking for it, by Keb Moe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, is out. And then Neon Trees has Pop Psychology.
Okay.
And then Drake Bell.
Oh, shut up.
What was it? Drake and Josh, Josh and Drake, yep. Where that goes. He has an album called Ready, Steady, Go. And I guess he's been bashing Justin Bieber on Twitter for like the longest time. And Biebs doesn't really respond. Except Bieber showed up at Drake Bell's like release party.
No.
And of course, everybody was freaking out over Bieber and nobody could give a crap about And so Bieber, that was like Bieber's revenge.
All right.
I don't know, and he tweeted about that. So, yay, former child stars who, yeah, have lost their way or fighting on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. All right. Amazing Spider-Man 2, you were mentioning. That soundtrack comes out, and it's Hans Zimmer.
Oh.
But there's also a song by Pharrell Williams in there. And then Draft Day, that Kevin Costner.
Yes.
Whoop, the score, soundtrack of that, John Debney. All right. That is out this week. And music news, The third single from Corey Feldman's upcoming album is out.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's called Mercy. And here's the best part about it. So there's this guy, I don't think we've mentioned the news, but his name's Brandon Howard, and he's claiming to be Michael Jackson's son.
Oh, no.
His illegitimate son. And supposedly he had, like, DNA testing done, and it's positive he is, but of course they, like, held up this sheet of paper at the press conference.
Yeah.
You know. So, who knows? But anyway, so Corey Feldman has this guy, like, on his song with him.
Oh, no.
All right. And yeah, you can just find that online if you want to take a listen. But you don't. Please, you don't. I promise you. Listen to the first 10 seconds. I took the bullet for you. Books this week, nonfiction week, man. Elizabeth Warren has one called A Fighting Chance. And so it's biographical, but dealing with the issues of the day, too. And then Everybody's Got Something. Robin Roberts. Yeah, she's got some stories to tell.
Yeah, no doubt.
There. And that's written with Veronica Chambers. Okay. So, and then former Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens.
Yes.
Six Amendments, How and Why We Should Change the Constitution.
Ooh.
And it's actually like six of the amendments you changed. And I haven't read it, but I read part of it.
Yes.
About the Second Amendment. And how we could change that to make it clear and to make it what the founding fathers like really wanted.
Right to bear arms.
Yeah. Well-organized militia.
Yes. Against rising up against a government that has abused its power.
Anyhow, it seemed very interesting because that's the side I'm on. I'm on the side like well-regulated is right in there. I have no need to take away all guns.
Yes.
But well-regulated right in there.
Be careful. You're in Texas, baby. Your neighbors are listening.
I know. So, anyhow, it was very interesting. Whatever side of the debate you're on, it was just interesting to hear someone's opinion and maybe some historical facts you don't know.
Yep. And legislative interpretation from somebody who does that for a living.
Yeah. You know? Gosh, he retired like just a couple years ago.
Yeah.
He was appointed in the 70s.
Yeah.
He was one of the longest on the bench. So, okay, completely changing gears. Still nonfiction, but Jennifer Esposito, the actress,
yes,
she was most recently on Blue Bloods, and she basically got fired because she wanted to cut her schedule back because she was sick, which leads to the title of the book, Jennifer's Way, My Journey with Celiac Disease, What Doctors Don't Tell You and How You Can Learn to Live Again.
I know one of my fellow actors has that, struggles with that as well.
Yeah, so you can, you know. If you're a fan of hers or, you know, want to learn about her, at least opinions on the disease. Yeah. There you go. A couple new things in the theater world. Broadway's Booth Theater just opened The Velocity of Autumn, starring Estelle Parsons.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Well,
we've had the pleasure of seeing on stage in the past.
So, very cool. And then Sutton Foster, who's huge, you know, Broadway baby right now.
Yep.
The Roundabout, the production of Violet just opened.
Okay.
Starring her. And I actually just watched her on Psych. She's guest starred on Psych.
Oh, no kidding.
It actually aired like a month ago.
Okay. Yeah.
Second to last episode of that.
All right.
Guest starred her. So if you're a fan, check out Psych, which you can see on Hulu.
Yep.
Or go see her on stage again.
All right. Very nice. And entertainment news, oy vey. Bryan Singer has been called out for alleged improper sexual conduct with underage actors. And this, as it turns out, is the first PR salvo for an impending scathing documentary from Oscar-nominated director Amy Berg on the rampant exploitation of young gay males by the Hollywood elite.
Yeah, I think it's something that needs to be looked into.
Oh, this is
Bryan Singer. The thing is, this Bryan Singer thing had been looked into.
Yeah.
Without his name being mentioned. This is one I always reserve, you know, if it's
judgment. Exactly.
Happened, it's horrible and things that have, like Kevin Clash stuff.
Yes, the almost.
That thing, may have been true.
Yes.
But this one, I don't know. I'm going to hold out because this seems a little, maybe not quite on the up and up.
Well, there's a lot of.
Not true.
There's a lot of stuff.
I'd rather have some screwed up guy kind of lying than have Brian being horrible.
I know. And again, we're getting to the point, like the Woody Allen stuff, that how do we separate somebody's personal behavior from their professional behavior? Brian is an amazing filmmaker. He's got X-Men coming out this summer.
Yeah.
I know it's timed to capitalize on that. But if you look at Gawker and Defamer and a lot of these people, a lot of people are now coming out of the woodwork to say, I've been to these parties that he and Roland Emmerich have hosted.
Uh-huh.
All this kind of stuff is now starting to bubble to the surface.
Yeah.
And this is widespread. This isn't one isolated incident.
Being whatever, naughty, nasty, whatever word you even want, and hurting someone.
Yes.
Doing illegal things.
Yes. Now, that's not to say that the person who is alleging these isn't an opportunist, right? Mm-hmm. And it didn't want something out of this relationship. Because in Hollywood, people yeah. do what they feel they need to get their career going.
So, yeah, and it's something that can ruin someone else's career, too, because yes. the Black Box, that show I mentioned that I still don't know what it is,
yes.
he's actually, like, producing it, and they've pulled his name off of okay. advertising for it.
All right. Yeah, this is going to get ugly before it gets better, so there's going
to
be...
And that'll be interesting to, like, let people who are investigating it investigate it and
right.
see what they have to say.
Right, and it's one thing to do a film about something. It's another thing for actual political and governmental agencies to look into the criminal behavior. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, along those same lines, noted fashion photographer Terry Richardson has been banned from ever working for Vogue again. After a model alleged to have received a Facebook message from Richardson promising a high-profile Vogue spread in exchange for sex.
Right then.
Yep, and those kind of things stay. You can't wipe out Facebook messages. You know, you can erase Twitter posts mm-hmm. and things like that, but those...
Oh, but even if you do, someone has screen-capped it.
Absolutely.
Guarantee it.
So, and Terry's always been on the edge of being more than a little inappropriate.
Yeah.
But he may have really stepped in it this time. The music industry is mourning the death of country singer Kevin Sharp at age 43. He was a blood cancer survivor,
mm-hmm.
But died from post-surgical complications having to do with some stomach and digestive issues.
Yeah.
And again, some people, I swear, their bodies are born to self-destruct. And they struggle with this their entire lives. And it's mm-hmm. really sad. And it just reminds me every day to be grateful for my health.
Well, you just get weakened by one thing, too, and
yeah.
other problems follow.
A production assistant, and this was from a couple weeks ago that we didn't cover, but a production assistant on Comedy Central's Tosh.0 was gunned down by L.A. Sheriff deputies who mistook him for an assault suspect that they were tracking in his same apartment building.
Yeah.
And he was actually assisting someone who had been attacked, and when the door opened and that person ran out covered in blood,
mm-hmm.
this person was behind him trying to help, and the deputies mistook him for the assailant and shot
yeah.
him.
Oh.
Oh, boy. As if LAPD and LA Sheriff's County needed any more bad PR.
Yeah.
The final episode of Oprah's Lindsay Lohan reality series, Lilo.
Yeah.
Tearfully recounts a recent miscarriage that she suffered
mm-hmm.
And addresses a leaked list of former A-list lovers whom she detailed as part of a rehab process, I guess, in the Betty Ford Clinic.
Okay.
So there was a documented list that somehow got out, and it's just, I don't, you know.
Okay.
We're just going to let that be. In lighter news, Joss Whedon has made his latest micro-budget he and his wife have this kind of micro-budget film company.
Mm-hmm.
They did As You Like It. They did, you know, a bunch of all these little things. Well, this one's called In Her Eyes, and he wrote it and produced it. Somebody else directed it. And it premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival last week, and now he's making it available for streaming on Vimeo for $5.
Cool.
So you don't have to wait for any other major service to see it. And finally, Lorne Michaels has been given 3 hours of prime time to celebrate Saturday Night Live's 40th anniversary next February, which is expected to be a mind-blowing reunion of former cast members, celebrity hosts, and musical guests.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm done.
Okay. Well, Kardashian news. I talked about this before. Their dad had remarried before he passed away.
Yes.
And his widow, like, was telling all these family secrets.
Uh-oh.
Like, supposedly Khloé wasn't really his daughter and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Because, like, she had his diary, so she had proof of this and whatever. Well, they've settled. They're getting the diary and some family photos and stuff back from their stepmom.
Okay.
For
a large sum of cash, I'm sure.
Yeah, but there's still a defamation suit that she filed against them.
What?
Yeah. So, but the family won part of the case, and they're like sticking her with, they want her to pay the legal fees that they needed to defend.
So
this part of this is over, but the whole fight with their stepmother is not done. So I'm sure I'll be telling you about more in the future.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have a contest this week?
We do. We're continuing our Mobius one.
From last. Oh, that's right.
So if you didn't get in on that.
Yes, because, well, yeah. And the reason we, well, one of the many reasons, A, my schedule went through the roof last week, and I did not have any time to do anything. And then we also learned of the passing of our longtime friend and collaborator, Mr. Tom Becker.
Yeah, our writer. He was an editor, too, behind the scenes, and a good friend to a lot of people on staff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have been dealing with that in our Verdict family.
Yeah. And it leaves a very gaping hole that we will need to figure out how we're going to fill.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, so as always, we thank you guys for tuning in. We thank you for reading our reviews at DVDverdict.com, our podcast at DVDverdictPresents.com, and our news at DailyVerdict.com. Until next week, Melissa Ann, take it away.
Now I've found a place to call my own. I'm coming home. So goodbye, Hollywood.